Tonight, we're beginning a special series on the book of Daniel. And this is by way of introduction to Megillah Esther. And the book of Daniel requires its own introduction, which we'll begin with you. A series of pages in front of you. You have first the man. Those who don't, look on with someone else who does. And if you look at the map on page 2, you see a map written in advance, which shows us the division of the empire. Let's just remind ourselves that we have the beginning of the kingdom, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, and then King Solomon has a son named Rehoboam, when Rehoboam becomes king, he power after God has decreed that King David's dynasty will be punished and much of the Jewish people will not remain under his rule. And so the people under the Nefat, Yeravam ben Nefat, come to King Sip of King David's grandson, and they ask him to alleviate some of the weight of the taxes they had under his father, King Solomon. And his response is, my father's waist is like my pinky. I'm much stronger than my father. If my father hit you with one kind of whip, I'm going to hit you with a whip that's much tougher. And you guys have to listen to me. Now, before he does this, he takes counsel with the elders, and elders tell him, let them accept you as king. And then later, once they've accepted you as king, you'll be able to do what you want. And his young friends tell them, you've got to show them who's boss. So he does the mistake of a young leader. He listens to his young friends and not to the elders. And the people, this is Rehoboam, King David's grandson, and the people rebel and leave his kingdom and appoint Yeravam ben Nevat as king. And from this point until the end of the Jewish inhabitants during the first temple in Israel, we have the northern ten tribes, we have the southern ten, what will later be called Judah and Israel. The northern tribes are called Israel or Ephraim or Shomron, and the southern tribes are called Judah. And the southern tribes are called Judah, later on named by the Romans during the Asmonean period as Judea. And the northern ten tribes are really supposed to be loyal to the temple, which is in Jerusalem. If they ascend to Jerusalem, then they'll say, well, if we're serving God under his reign, so we should really be under his kingship, under Rehoboam's kingship. Yeravam is concerned that Rehoboam will take advantage of the fact that the temple is within his territory to sway the people back under his kingdom. So Yeravam gets the people to serve idols. He establishes two idols, one in Beersheba and the other in Beitel, one in the north and one in Beersheba. One in Dun and the one in Beersheba. Start serving idols. Jews, he gets the northern ten tribes to serve idols. And the next few hundred years, we have the king over Judah and the king over Israel. And Judah is constantly serving idols. Israel, the northern tribes, are constantly serving idols. Until finally, God starts exiling them. He sends the Assyrian king of Sennacherib, and he will ultimately exile the northern ten tribes. But the exile takes place in stages. First, the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan are exiled, and then the northern tribes are exiled, until finally all of the ten tribes are exiled by Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. And the last king that the Jews have, the Jews of the northern tribes have, if you look at the map on page, the sign line, on page,
the tribes in the
Judean
kingdom,
and Yehuda and
Binyamin.
And Shimon is swallowed in within Yehuda, and you have Kohanim and Levim in there as well.
Ten tribes.
Not really ten tribes, right? We refer to them as ten tribes. But there are Levim that, yeah. Okay, I don't see it on any of these timelines. I think it's all the way in the back. Yeah. If you look all the way in the back on page 18, all the way in the back on page, you see the kings of Israel until Hoshea ben Ela, the last king. And the exile of Hoshea ben Ela, 800. going by the Jewish calendar. Now, after the northernmost 10 tribes were exiled, we have the southern tribes, we have the southern kingdom, and Sanherib cannot overtake them. And ultimately, the Assyrian Empire is fire, and we have the Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar. The first year of his reign, he overtakes Nineveh, which is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And the second year of his reign, he overtakes Jerusalem. And during that period of time, the king of Jerusalem was Jehoiakim. We will, in a few minutes, get photocopies of the verses in the end of the book of Malachim, which describe how Jehoiakim was sinful, so God let Nebuchadnezzar overtake him. And Nebuchadnezzar has control over what remains of Israel, what remains of the Jewish inhabitants of Israel, until Jehoiakim rebels for 3 years, and then his rebellion is quashed. So in Nebuchadnezzar's second year, he overtakes Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim, the king of Yehuda, is subservient to Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years, and then he rebels for 3 years. When Nebuchadnezzar becomes king, it is during Jehoiakim's fourth year of rule. In Jehoiakim's fifth year, Nebuchadnezzar's second year, Jehoiakim is overtaken by Nebuchadnezzar. He spends 3 years, Nebuchadnezzar's fifth year, Jehoiakim's eighth year, under Nebuchadnezzar. And then the 3 years of rebellion, which brings us to Jehoiakim's 11th year, Nebuchadnezzar. On that eighth year, the rebellion is quashed, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, Jehoiakim. In a minute, we're going to receive the photocopies of these verses, and we'll see it inside the verses. In the end of Malachim, Jehoiakim is established as king, and then Nebuchadnezzar exiles Jehoiakim to get smiths, which are sages, say is an allusion to the sages of Jerusalem, the leaders of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar has overtaken Jerusalem, and Jehoiakim is subservient until finally Nebuchadnezzar exiles Jehoiakim together with the leaders, and that is exile. And when he exiles them, he leaves only the people who he doesn't think will rebel against him again. And he takes much of the wealth out of Jerusalem. He takes much of the wealth out of the Beis HaMikdash. He takes it all to his god out in Bavel. The god that they served in Bavel was named Baal. And he wants to show that his God helped him overcome the Jews. So he takes the wealth out to Babylon, and his son Matanya is king, and he changes his name to Tzidkio. Tzidkio quashes the rebellion and exiles what remains in Israel. He leaves a little bit of Jews in Israel under the rulership of a man by the name of by a Jew named Yishmael ben Nesanya.
Why?
And Yishmael ben Nesanya wanted to take the leadership. Gedalia was left as the governor. Yishmael murders him. And then Yishmael is fearful of a reprisal by the Babylonian Empire, so he flees down to Egypt, taking the rest of the Jews with him, forcing Jeremiah to go with him, even though the prophet Jeremiah forewarned them that if they go, they would all be killed. They said, you're coming with us, and they weren't. We fast Tzom Gedaliah because that was the very end, including Jeremiah. The last remnants of Jews in Israel, were destroyed, really, because Gedaliah was killed. Now, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has under his rule the Jews in Babylon. And before the ultimate destruction, sorry, yeah, Ari.
Don't be like
that. I'm going to get back to you in a minute.
Can
you
hear me?
Yeah?
Okay. Why
Maybe he wants him to be righteous. Maybe he wants Tzidkiyahu to keep his promise not to rebel. When he appoints him as king, he's 8 years old, and he makes Tzidkiyahu promise that he will not rebel.
Thanks,
Jim. I'll tell you the truth. Whatever. So you could guess just like I. So you could guess just like I could guess. I don't have any source. It's a good question.
Read an article that I liked a lot. I don't really read a lot, though. It's about the Jews who suggested
that the Amit together in Eva is referring to Tzidkiyahu.
And I was wondering what he thought of it.
I don't know. Chazal says it's talking about the death of Yoshio, no? Let's look up the Gemara. Maybe I don't know. Okay.
Well, I don't think it says Tzidkiyahu anywhere, but here's the Machlokes of who it really is.
Okay, I don't know. Let's look it up. When Nebuchadnezzar exiles the Jews to Babylon, the first exile, when he has left Tzidkiyahu as king, so the prophet Jeremiah sends letters to the Jews in Babylon. And we have those letters. They're recorded in the prophet Jeremiah. And he tells them, I hear you guys don't want to build houses. I hear you don't want to settle down there. Well, settle down. You aren't coming back so fast. All these false prophets that are promising you you're coming back to Jerusalem, that the kingdom in Jerusalem will be successful, it's a lie. God said you will be there until Babylon fills its 70 years. The Jews will remain in Babylon. And when those 70 years are up, that's when you will be returned, God says. So purchase homes, settle down out in Babylon.
What is Babylon? Now, is it the Sinai Peninsula?
I think you have a map of it. One of these maps you could see. The Jews and non-Jews all see that Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled, the first part of the prophet. The first part of the prophecy happened when Jerusalem was destroyed. And revolving around that prophecy, that's what the book of Daniel focuses on. To an extent. And that's what the Megillah Esther, that we will get to next week, also revolves around. Everything revolves around that prophecy. Everyone knew Jeremiah was a true prophet. And now Jeremiah has said that when 70 years are up, God will take you back. And everyone's trying to figure out when will those 70 years be up. And if they're up and God doesn't take us back, then maybe God doesn't want us anymore. That's the hope of the Babylonian empires, emperors, and that's the hope of the Persian king, Ahasuerus, when he throws his party. That's what we will see next week, Mr. Chairman, and possibly we will also get to part of that this week. So let's begin. Now, in a second, we're going to have copies of... In 2 seconds, we'll have copies of the book of Daniel. Now... One thing I have to warn you, you're all going to be reading photocopies of the English translation of the book of Daniel. And whenever you read translation, you have to realize that there's a problem with translating a book. If you translate it literally, word for word, as the book of Daniel begins in the third year of the king Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came to Babylon. Whereas we know that Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem. We know that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't king, so he couldn't have possibly come to Jerusalem in Jehoiakim's third year. The prophet in Jeremiah tells us that he only ascended to the throne in Jehoiakim's fourth year of reign. So it can't be that during Jehoiakim's third year he came. So we know that means the 3 years after Jehoiakim rebelled, when he regained the throne by rebelling against the Babylonian Empire. On the other hand, if you translate something and you stick in all kinds of explanations, then people say, well, how did you choose which explanation to include? So it's difficult. Whichever way you go, people are going to have claims against you. If you translate literally, some things don't make sense. If you translate using an explanation, so who are we to choose which interpretation to choose? So we're going to begin the book of Daniel, and it was voted on last week that you guys want the text in front of you with the English. Now I just want to take a vote. Do you want me to read the text and translate, or just summarize in English going in line with the text? How many? Everyone has to vote. How many people want us to read the text and translate inside?
Go ahead.
And how many people want us to summarize the text? Okay. So, you're from number one. Okay, let's start again. How many people want us?
Okay,
how many people want number two? That I just summarize it as we go along? Okay, they win. Okay, so we're going to run through it. Even though I'm reading it, we're going to try to make everyone happy.
Could we get up one to the top of the table?
Okay, so meanwhile, those of you who have it, look on. Those of you who don't, look on. Those of you who do, could you pass on backwards? And maybe those of you who want it summarized externally shouldn't have one. Then it's like a... It's not Jerusha Mahut Yoakim El Chiyuda. 3 years into Yoakim, the king of Judah's rebellion, Ban Nebuchadnezzar must have been Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and laid siege on it. Vayitena Hashem Yadot Yoakim El Chiyuda, God gave into his hands Yoakim, the king of Judah, Mitzat Shlevet Hashem. He took a part of the vessels of the temple, Vayivim El Shinav Bet Lokav. He brought to the land of Shinar and to Bavel, to the house of his God. And the vessels he left by his God, the people, he first brought them, he exiled them, he made them all stand opposite his temple, so to speak, subservient to his God, and then he scattered them, and the vessels of the temple he left in the storage house of his God. So the king said to Ashkenaz, his chief eunuch, Lavi mibnei Yisrael umizeram nuchal min apasimim. He tells him, I want you to bring me from the Jews, from children of kingly descent, from the important people of the Jews, yeladim asher ein beim kolmum, kids that have no blemish, v'tovei marei, good looking, maskilim chol chokma, and intelligent, yodei dat u'mbinei mada, that can understand, that can learn, asher koch beim lamod b'chal ha'melach, kids that won't joke around, that can ultimately stand in my palace as my advisors. I want you to bring Jewish children, the best Jewish children from the best Jewish families, their aristocracy, ulamdam sefer ulshon kastim. I want you to teach them the books of wisdom that we Chaldeans, we Babylonians have, and teach them the Chaldean tongue. The king decreed that they should have each day their food, from the special food that the king eats and his special wine, and they're going to raise them for 3 years, and at the end of the 3 years, these children will stand to serve before the king. Among these children were from the tribe of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What are the names? Daniel, my judge is the ultimate force, God. Hananiah, the one who has extra compassion over me, is God. Mishael, I am taken from God. Azariah, my helper, is God. So the chief eunuch changes their names. Daniel Belshazzar, he changes Daniel's name to mean, my chief eunuch changes their name. Vayasim leDaniel beChatzar, he changes Daniel's name to mean my wisdom. Chatzar means in Babylonian, my wisdom is from there. The idol Baal gives me my wisdom. VeLeChananiah, he changed Hananiah's name to be Shadrach, and Mishael's name he changed to be Meshach, and Azariah's name he changed to Abednego. And from now on, the book is sometimes going to refer to them as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and sometimes as Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Vayasem Daniel alibash lo gal befatbag amelech uvien mishtav. Daniel took to heart, he said, I don't want to disgrace myself with the king's food and his wine, because if the king is giving me this food and this wine, and he changes my name after the name of his idol, he's probably giving me idol food, stuff that I'm forbidden to eat. Vayakesh misal sa'asim asher lo gal. So he asked the head Ashkenaz, the chief eunuch, he said, I don't want to dirty myself with this food. Then Elohim et Daniel lechesed l'rachmim fnei sar sarsim. God made a miracle that Daniel found favor in his eyes, that he didn't kill him on the spot. Want the king to give him over to the king to be killed on the spot, because he has the nerve to say, "I don't want the king's special food." The king's giving him, said to Daniel, "Yachani et Adoni amelech shominat machalchem et mishtechem." I'm fearful of my master, the king. He established how much food and drink you're supposed to get every day. Asher lamayret mechem zafim na'aldim shaki gilchem. Why should he notice that you guys are worse looking than the other children your age? Chiyavtim tushil amelech. And if I do this, then my head will be responsible to the king, meaning the king will have me beheaded. I can't afford to let you not eat the food that the king himself decreed you should eat. So Daniel tries a different route. He goes to the waiter. He tells the waiter who's bringing them their food, give us a trial period of 10 days. Let us eat beans, lentils, we'll eat peanuts, we'll eat chowed beans, we'll eat some kind of beans, and we'll drink wine instead of this, and we'll drink water instead of the wine and the cooked goods of the king. Notice, this is going to be one of the sources for the prohibition of yayin akum, yayin that comes from a non-Jew, and bishulei akum, food that was cooked by non-Jews. This is one of the places we learn about those laws, from the fact that Daniel did not want these foods that were cooked by them.
Those were rabbinic, right? I mean, the...
Those were rabbinic, correct. And look at us after 10 days, how we look and how the other children look. And after 10 days, if we look worse, then you'll do the way you see fit. We're holding Pasuk Yudalid, the 14th Pasuk. So listen to them, he gave them a 10-day trial period. And at the end, 10 days, they looked good and healthy, better than all the other children who were eating the fancy food this king had established for them. So the waiter was happy, he used to eat their fancy food, and he'd give them the beans that they wanted. And these four children, God gave them the ability to understand and learn all books and all wisdoms. And Daniel exceeded the other three in that he had great understanding in visions and prophecy and in dreams.
Are you following?
And at the end of the 3 years when the king said he wants to see the children, so the chief eunuch brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, so the king interviewed them one at a time, and he found none that equaled Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they were given the responsibility. These four Jewish children are now established. They are one of the king's advisors. And any wisdom, understanding that the king asked them for, the king found them to be far more intelligent, 10 times as intelligent, as the other wise men who were supposed to be his advisors. And Daniel remained by the king until the first year of Koresh the king, and we are going to see there's great discussion, who is this Koresh? Many Persian kings were called Koresh. Just to review, the Babylonian dynasty was overthrown, overtaken by the Persian Mede dynasty, and the Persian and Mede dynasty had kings that many shared the name Koresh, many shared the name Daryovesh, many shared the name Ahasuerus. So when we read about Koresh, we're going to have to ask ourselves which Koresh that is, and we will return to this verse later on in the book to understand what does it mean Daniel had this position of advisor until the first year of Koresh. Which Koresh is this referring to? Chapter 2. Year number 2 in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Chalam Nebuchadnezzar Chalamot. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was taken, his sleep broke upon him. He was upset. He couldn't remember his dream. So he told all his wise men, reveal to me, what did I dream? So all these different wise men and sorcerers come and they stand before the king. He tells them, I dreamt a dream. And now I'm very upset. I want to know what I dreamt. And from here the book switches to Aramaic. The Chaldeans answered the king in Aramaic. And from here on in, the book will be in Aramaic, which is one of the things we have to gain from learning this book with the text. I want you guys to learn Aramaic. No, it'll help you in learning the Targum, and it'll help you in learning Gemara also. It's not identical Aramaic, but a lot of the things overlap. Malka, the king, lol min chayi, live forever. And Malchal mal abdach, tell the dream to your servants, Ufishran echavein, will tell you the explanation. So they're telling him, fine, we're wise men. We'll tell you what the dream means, but you have to tell us the dream. The king answered, he said to the Chaldeans, the thing has gone from me. I forgot the dream. I don't know what I dreamt. If you don't reveal to me the dream and its explanation, I'll cut you up into limbs, and I'll turn your homes into garbage dumps. But if you do tell me the dream and its explanation, matnan, gift, unvizma, and loot, vikal sagin, great honor, tekablun, you will receive me kodamai from before me, lahen, but chelma, the dream of Tishrei and its explanation, achavuni, tell to me. So he tells his advisors, you guys tell me the dream, tell me its explanation, and I'll give you everything in the world. That's all you have to do. Just tell me what I dreamt. He's telling them, if you tell me that, I'll give you everything. Now, the king is really saying, if you guys are so smart, you should be able to tell me the dream. If you could reveal to me the dream, then you could certainly tell me what the explanation is. Anot in Yanut, they answered a second time, Amrin, and they said, Malka, king, Chelmaya, the dream, Yemal Avdoi, tell your servant, Ufishra, an explanation, Achaveh will tell you. Anei Malka, the king answered, Vamar, and said, Min Yatsiv, truthfully, it's established, Yadana, now I know, Di Idana, that at this time, Antun Zavnin, you are sold to death. Kol Kovel Di Chazaitun, why? Because opposite the fact that you see, the Azda that went mini from me milta the thing. You know I forgot it. I told you I forgot the dream. And you're still asking me, tell us the dream and we'll tell you the explanation. Now you're certainly sold to death. Dihein chilma. Now he's telling them, if the dream, lotu dinani, you will not tell me, chadai datchon, it is one way your decree, umilach idvar shchitai zamtun lememar kodamai, and it must be that you came here to tell me lies and things that are corrupt. Ad di danai ishtanei, you have until the times change, meaning until it switches from day to night, you have until nightfall to reveal my dream. Lahen bat chelma, the dream, emahuli, tell me, v'indadi tishrei tachvunani, and I'll know that the explanation you'll also be able to tell me. Anochas da'ei, so the Trobians answered, kodam alka, before the king, Amrin, and they said, Lo itai enosh al yabesta. There is no man on dry land. Dimilat malka yuchal lachavaya. That can tell the king what you're asking. There's no such person. You have nothing to gain by killing us. There's no one around who will be able to tell you. Korkovel, how do we know this? Opposite the fact, the kol melech that any king, rav shalit or ruler, milach idna, a thing like this, lo she'el, never requested such a thing. There's never been such a request from any wise man, lechol chasom v'ashaf v'chasai, from all different wise men and sorcerers. Never has a king told his advisors, reveal to me what I dreamt at night. Umilta di malkasha elen, the thing that the king is asking, Yakira, is heavy. Va'achuran lo itai, and there's no other, di'achavina kodam malka, that will be able to say it before the king. Now our sages say that when they said, Va'achuran lo itai, there's no other, they were really saying, Va'achuran lo itai, and Aaron, the great priest, isn't around. The priest Aharon, who was able to reveal such secrets, he's not around. You destroyed the temple, our king, and you destroyed the head priest who could reveal such secrets, and now there's no one around who could tell you such a secret. And when the king heard this, he said, you advised me to destroy that temple. And that's when he got upset and started killing out his wise men. That's what we're going to see the next stage. Lahen Elohim, the only exception are gods. Dimidahon, that their place of living, in Bisrad Loitoy, is not with the flesh of mankind. The only ones who could answer you now are the gods, and they don't live among us. Kol kovel dena, opposite all this, meaning when the king heard all this, Malka, the king, dena suktaf saki, got very upset, filled with anger. Va'amar, and he said, lehovada, to get rid of, to abolish, lechol chakimei Bavel, all the wise men of Babylon. So now he's not waiting till nightfall. After they tell him this answer, no one's going to be able to give you the answer, he decides, we have to kill all the wise men of Babylon. Vidata nefkat, and the decree was out. The Chakimayan, the wise men Mitkatlin, were being murdered. Uveod Daniel v'chavoy litkatala, and it came Daniel and his friend's turn to be killed. Beidain, which is going to be a word that will repeat itself, either Eidain or Beidain, which means then. Daniel, he hativ eital to him, he responded with advice and reasoning, le'aryoch, to the man named Aryoch, Rav Sabachaya, the chief executioner, Dimalcha of the king. This Arioch, the chief executioner, was on his way out to murder all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel responded to him and said, to Arioch, who was in charge from the king, Al madatam achtefam in kodam alka. And what came out this chutzpedik, this audacious decree from before the king? Edain then milta the words of what happened. Hodah yochle Daniel. Arioch filled Daniel in as to the rest of the story. How the king had a dream. He can't remember his dream, and he asked his wise men, and no one was able to tell. The Daniel al, and Daniel went up, uve amin malkan, requested from the king, dizman yintinle, that he'll give him time, ufishra ilach, avaya lemalka, and he says, I'll tell you the solution my king. Edain then, Daniel levaite azal, Daniel went home, velachanayam mishael, vazaya chavroi milta oda, he led his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azar, you know what was going on, vachamim lemivei min kodam elashmaya, and to beg of mercy from the God of the heavens, al ghazad dina regarding the secret. Daniel and his friends won't be wiped out with the other wise men of Babylon. Daniel was revealed in the visions of night this secret. Daniel blessed the God of the heavens. Daniel responded and said, may the name of God be blessed from the world to the world. Notice, this is very similar to Yehei Shmei Rabam Varach V'olam Ve'omeo Maya. D'chokhmata Zvata Dilehi, that the wisdom and the strength is His, is God. V'hu Mashnei, and He changes, Idanayav is Mayav, the different seasons and times. Mehadei Malchim, He removes kings. U'makei Malchim, God established kings. Yehei Chokhmata L'chakimin, He gives the wisdom to the wise men. U'manda'ali Yadei Binan, the knowledge to those who have understanding. God is the one that reveals the depths and things that are hidden from mankind. God knows what's in the darkness. And the light is with God. To you, the God of my fathers, I thank and praise. That you gave me the wisdom and strength. Notice, Daniel is going to walk in and reveal to the king what he dreamt the night before and the explanation. And he's automatically attributing his knowledge to God, where here it was very clear. During the night, God gave him this dream, this vision of knowing what the king had dreamt. Ucha'an, and now hodatani divayna mimach, you let me know what I asked of you. Dimilat marka hodatana, that you let me know what the king wants. Kol kovel denar, in response to this, Daniel ala l'arioch, the first thing Daniel does, he doesn't go to the king. He goes to the chief executioner, to Arioch. Dimani marka l'ovadar hakimei bavel, that the king made him responsible to wipe out the wise men of Bavel. Azal, he first goes to him, and this is what he tells him, stop murdering, stop killing the wise men of Babylon. Bring me to the king, and I'll tell him the explanation. Now this is a very important point, that he first goes to him. We are going to encounter in the book of Melachim a story of four lepers, people at Saras, who are outside the gates, and the Jews were under siege. And God made a great miracle that our enemies who were laying siege on us suddenly heard noise as though great armies were coming upon them, and they fled. And they were so scared that as they were running, they kept leaving behind more and more things that were weighing them down. They'd leave all their gold and all their wealth. And these four mitzoron, these four lepers who were outside the gates because they were impure, they said, you know, there's no more food. There's a famine inside the city. And we have no choice. We might as well go to the enemy camp. Maybe they'll take us as slaves. Maybe they'll let us stay alive. So they come to the enemy camp and they find the camp is empty. They find that the enemies have run away. And the Jews don't know, it's the middle of the night, the Jews are at home. What do? They start taking the wealth and burying it. And then after they've taken food and wealth, they say, you know, it's really not nice what we're doing. We better go tell the king that the Jews can eat. People are dying of hunger. But first they took. Daniel does the exact opposite. Before he goes to the king and tells him the solution, he goes to the chief executioner and tells him, stop killing. Wait. Now take me to the king with you, I'll tell the king the solution. But you stop killing. He first takes care of other people. And this is something we have to think about. I think our tendency when we wake up in the morning is to look into the mirror. And maybe when we wake up in the morning, we should first look out the window. Both are glass. The question is, who do you look at? Yourself or someone else? So Daniel, even though these were non-Jews, and these were sorcerers, these were idol worshippers, first thing he does is he stops the execution. And then he goes to tell the king. Then Arioch, the executioner, quickly brought Daniel before the king. And this is what he said. The Ashkach, there has been found gvar men min b'nei galut of Yehud, from exile of Yehud. Notice here we find that the Jews are called Yehudim. The term Jew stems from the word Yehudi. Mordechai is going to be known as Yehudi. The Jews are known as Yehudim primarily when they are among the non-Jews. So long as we're in the land of Israel, we are identified as Yisraelim. Only when we are exiled and our claim to fame is the fact that we are monotheists among all these pagans, then they call us Yehudi, the one who serves one God, Yudke Vavke. Another understanding is because we were exiled primarily from the tribe of Judah into Babylon, so we were called Yehudim, and then that was converted in English to Jews. But Yehudi either refers to the fact that we are monotheists or refers to the fact that we are primarily from the tribe of Judah. This person will tell the king the solution. Yeah.
In Israel, we're called Bnei Yisrael, and outside of Israel, are we Bnei Yaakov, or are we still Bnei Yisrael?
We're Bnei Yisrael, but the nations refer to us as Yehudim, because that's how they discern between us and them. Pasuk Chavav, Anei Melkav Amal Daniel, the king tells Daniel, Bishmei Belshazzar. Notice the king is about to hear wisdom from Daniel. The book stresses his name is Belshazzar. My idol Bel gives him his wisdom. Ha'itach kahelo hodutani, are you able to tell me chelma, the dream, the chazet that I saw, Ufi Shrei in its explanation? By the way, the word chazet, chaza, in Aramaic in the Gemara, is also to see. Fishrei is the solution. Anei Daniel, Daniel answers, Kodam Malka, before the king, Vamani says, Raza, the secret, the Malka Sha'el that the king is requesting, Lo Hakimin Ashpin Chatumin Gazrin Yecholin Achvaya Malka. No wise man, even those that use the bones of dead men to bring up spirits, none of them will be able to tell you the solution. Bram, although, the word Bram also shows up. Itai, there is Elah, a God, Bishmaya in the heavens, Galei Razin, he reveals secrets. Vehoda, and he revealed the Malkan Nebuchadnezzar to the king Nebuchadnezzar, Madi Leve Bachit Yomaya. And here we are beginning the depth of the book of Daniel. Daniel, before he tells him the dream, he's telling him, you should know when God showed you this dream, God showed you what would be at the end of time. Chelmach, your dream, the Chesve Veishach, and your thoughts, the things you were pondering while you were awake, Al Mishkevach, when you were sleeping, Denahu, this is what went up. Ant Malka, you the king, Rayonach, your thoughts, Al Mishkevach Saliku, when you slept, so your thoughts went up to your mind. Madileve Achredina, your constant thoughts, you're constantly perturbed with what will be after your kingdom. What's going to be next? Will this kingdom remain? The Galei Razaya, and the one who reveals secrets, Hodach Madileve, has revealed to you what will be. Vana and I, Love Chokhmadi Taibinim Kol Chaya, not because I have wisdom more than all other living beings, Raza Dena, this secret, Gelili, was revealed to me. Lahin, but, Al Divrati Tishra Malka Yodun, the reason is that from heavens they want to let you know, V'rayoneli V'vach Tindas, and you will know the thoughts of your inner heart. Ant Malka, you the king, Chazei Havaita, this is what you saw in your dream. Valu, and behold, Tzilem Chad Sagi, a large idol. Dikein Rav, its basis was great, Vizive Yatir, and its countenance was fearful, was great. Ka'en Lakavlach was standing, was established opposite you, Virevei Dechil, and the vision when you saw it was fearful. Hut Salma, this idol, now we will describe how it is composed. Reishei, its head, the Dehav Tav, was a fine gold. Chadoi, its chest, Ubraoi, and its arms, Dera'oi, remember in Aramaic, the Dalet and the Zayin are interchangeable, just like in Hebrew, Zeroah is the arm, in Aramaic, Dera'oi, like Zeroah, is the arms. It's also Chadoi, is like Chazeh, in Hebrew, Chazeh is the chest, in Aramaic, Chadoi, his chest, Udra'oi, and his arms, Dichasap. So we have a head of gold, the chest and arms of silver. Me'oi v'yachatei, his stomach, his thighs, dinechash, are of copper. Shakoi, his legs, difalzel, are of metal. Ragloi, his feet, minhen difalzel, minhen dichasap. Part were made of metal, part were made of earthenware. Chazei avaita, you saw dihitgezeot even dilovidain. You saw stones suddenly show up. Umchat l'salma al ragloi, and it bashed the idol on its feet. Difalzela v'chaspa, that are made of metal and copper. Vadeketimon, and then this whole idol became squashed. So you have this huge idol that fills up the screen, and you, Nebuchadnezzar, are standing there like a dwarf opposite this tremendous idol. You see a huge head, huge chest, the head is of gold, the chest and arms are of silver, the stomach and thighs are of copper, the feet are of metal, the legs are of metal mixed with earthenware, and then you see this huge stone suddenly lands on its feet, and then this huge idol minimizes and minimizes, gets smaller and smaller. You saw how initially the metal and the earthenware were flattened together, kaspa vedava, together with the silver and gold, till it became so small like the chaff of the chaff of the granary. And a wind came and took this whole idol that was quashed into this little, like the shell of grain, the chaff, and it blew it away. And the wind blew it away. And when you looked, there was no remembrance that such a great idol was had ever been there. And the stone that quashed this idol, Havat leturav, became a great mountain, umelat kol ha'ara, and filled the whole land. Dinachanna, this is the dream you dreamt, ufishrei nemalko dam malka, and the explanation I will say before my king. Ant malka, you the king, melech machaya di'elah shmaya malchutach ishnam shufa v'ikara yahav lach. The king of kings, who is the god of the heavens, gave you a powerful kingdom. A powerful, wealthy, honorable kingdom. Uvchol didrim ne'enashah, and anywhere that people live, by the way, you know the song Kari Bon Olam that we sing on Shabbos? That song takes most of the words from here. It's all in Aramaic, that song. And that song is a praise of God. And most of the words are from here in Daniel. And anywhere that people live, Chivat Bara, the wild animals, Vof Shmaya, and the birds of the heaven, Yahav Bidach, God gave you control over. Vashtetach Becholon, you have power over it all. Our sages say that Nebuchadnezzar had power over the animals. He had power over the birds. The birds wouldn't flap its wings without his permission. Obviously, we don't know what that means. It doesn't sound like it's literal. But at any rate, Nebuchadnezzar ruled the world. Antu Reisha Didaba. You are represented by the head of gold of this idol. Uvatrachtekum malchu achuri araminach. And after you will arise a kingdom that is less than you. Umalchut lita achuri dinachasha. And a third kingdom like copper. Zitishvat bechol ara, that will also rule over the land. Umalchu reviyah. And a fourth kingdom, tevet akifah kefalzla, will be strong like metal. Kovel difalzla ma'adek v'chashel kola, just as metal is used to flatten and it's used to pound everything. Ukefalzla dimra'a kolilein tadik v'teroa, and just like the metal can bang and flatten other things, so too this fourth kingdom will pound other things. V'dichazayta raglav yavetz ba'ata, and that you saw that the extension of the feet and the fingers of the feet, minhen chasafti sechal, some were made of earthenware, minhen falzed, and some were made of metal. Malchut ligat heve, it will be a kingdom that's divided. Umin nitzbeta di falzela leheveva, kol kovet di chazaita falzela ma'arav b'chasaftina. And the weak in this kingdom will be stronger than any other nation, and they'll all be fearful of even the weak of this nation, because of the strength of the metal. This is what you saw, the metal mixed with earthenware. That earthenware isn't strong like metal, but this kingdom will be so powerful that even the weak of this kingdom will be strong like metal, just as though the earthenware had metal backing it. And the fingers of the feet that you see of metal and of earthenware, part of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be weak. V'dichazayta parzula me'arav v'chasaftina, and you saw the metal mixing with the earthenware, mikalvin le'evon bizra anasha. They're going to intermarry with other people. V'lo le'evin davkin dinan. They won't really be able to match with other people. Hechadit parzula lo mitarav m'chaspa, just as metal won't mix with earthenware. So you could explain this about many nations. The Americans, the United States, you have Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Arabs, Jews, everyone's coming to the United States and theoretically intermarrying, and are they really becoming part of the people? You could explain this about the Russians. The Russians are scattered all over the world and they're intermarrying and they remain Russian, and the people they marry remain of their culture, and do they really match? The Navi is telling them that just as metal can never really unite with earthenware, metal does not bond well with earthenware, so too this fourth kingdom, which represents the fourth kingdom in the world, will intermarry with the other nations, but they won't really bond well. They'll remain true to their source, but they won't bond with the other nations that they marry into. So, who is this referring to? Who knows? But we're beginning to see Daniel is going to refer to time and again the end of time. Daniel is the book which our sages have a tradition that when Yonasan ben Uziel translated prophet, the earth shook, and then he wanted to translate the writings, and God didn't want him to reveal the translation of writings, because God said, I don't want people to know what's going to happen in the end of time. And Rashi explains that's referring to the book of Daniel. If you really understand what's going on here, you understand what's going to be at the end of time. So here we see the first clue as to what's supposed to happen. And in the days of this kingdom, the God of heavens will establish a kingdom that will never be harmed, and it will never lose its reign to another kingdom. It will flatten, and finish, and this kingdom will be everlasting. So he's speaking about the Mashiach, that his kingdom is going to be everlasting, and he will lasting, and he will ultimately overtake all these other kingdoms, and his kingdom will never be lost. This is represented by what you saw, that from the mountain came down a rock, that you hadn't seen previously, and it's flattened, the metal, the copper, the earthenware, the silver, and the gold, the great God revealed to the king, what will be after your time, the dream is true, and its explanation is truthful. Bedain then Malkan Nebuchadnezzar nefal al pohi, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, fell on his face with Daniel Segid and bowed to Daniel. He wanted to make Daniel into a god. Now, this is a double-edged sword. On the surface, it looks like Nebuchadnezzar wants to honor Daniel. We have a tradition that Nebuchadnezzar said, how do I get these people down? I'll make them heir. I'll make them serve idols. I'll make God hate them. So the first thing he wants to do is harm Daniel. He starts bowing to Daniel, making him into God. Maybe Daniel will fall for it. Maybe he'll accept the honor. He'll say, yeah, I'm a God. I revealed the secrets. He said, we have to libate and bring offerings before Daniel. He's a God. Obviously, Daniel won't fall for it. The king responds to Daniel. He tells him in Kishot, truthfully, your God is the God of all gods, Elah Elahin, Umarei Malchin, he rules over kings, the Galei Razin, he reveals secrets, the Echetan Midlei Razadina, that you were able to reveal this secret. Edain Malkal Daniel Rabbi, then the king made Daniel great, Umatnan Revan Sagian Yahavle, gave him great gifts, Vashtetel Kol Medinat Aver, he made Daniel in charge of the, he made him in charge of Babylon. Virav Signina Kol Chakimei Bavel, he made him the chief of all the wise men of Babylon. The Daniel Be'amin Malkal, and Daniel asked the king to lighten the load, umaniyal avita demidinat bavel, and established over the king of Babylon, over the capital of Babylon, the shodach meshach aved nego. Daniel asks for help for his good friend Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The Daniel bitra malka, and Daniel remained at the king's gates. Now we're holding chapter 3. Now we're going to enter the story of the burning furnace. Yes.
According to Shlomo HaMelech, fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom. So what wisdom do these idol worshippers really have?
Good question. Now I just want to take a vote for a different time. I would like to continue. I would like us to finish half the book of Daniel tonight. But in order to do that, we have to continue and forgo our Binyan HaBayit class.
Oh, no.
So let's take a vote. How many people want to continue?
We have to vote?
Yeah, you have to vote.
What's the question?
How many people want to continue in Daniel?
But in current, yeah.
And how many people want to go over to Binyan HaBayit? I think you're outvoted. Sorry. But you know what? Towards the end, maybe we'll rush through it. Huh?
Who's outvoted?
The Binyan HaBayit, no?
No.
Okay, so we'll continue. But in the end, we'll try to get a few minutes of Binyan HaBayit. Nebuchadnezzar Malka Avad Tzelem Rav. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a huge idol. Why did he make this idol? Same thing as we've discussed before. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a great idol. He figures, if I get the Jews to serve idols, I'll get them to be lost. And you know what? His plan almost worked. Our sages say that the story we're about to read of how Nebuchadnezzar established this great idol and commanded everyone to bow to this idol, and he gathered everyone into this huge valley, and all the Jews were present, and he told them, bow or you die. And all the Jews bowed, other than Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. According to one understanding, this is why the heavenly decree allowed for Haman to wipe out the Jews. The decree was out. The decree was out that the Jews would be wiped out. How could Haman get away with such a decree? According to one understanding, this was because the Jews bowed down to this idol. So Nebuchadnezzar hears that at the end of time, there's going to come a Messiah who will overtake the kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I got to get rid of these Jews. They're problematic. So Nebuchadnezzar establishes this great idol of gold. We have a tradition that when they try to make this huge idol of gold, which was 60 amas high, making it about 120 feet high in those days, that was a great architectural feat. Every time they tried to establish it, it would fall. Until they brought all the gold that they had taken out of Jerusalem, and they used that as a foundation to support the idol's feet, and then the idol stood. And as this was a fulfillment of Yechezkel, Ezekiel's prophecy, Uzhavam l'nidai yiyeh. Yechezkel said their gold will become used for a woman who has her period. And a woman who has her period is usually she doesn't want to come close to a man, and the man doesn't want to come close to her during that time. So that's the way we describe idols. Something that naturally a person shouldn't want to come close to it, and it shouldn't want to come close to a person. So very often we describe idols as a nidah. So the prophet says the gold is going to be like a nidah. Nebuchadnezzar made this great idol, Rumei Amin Shitin. Yeah.
What does it mean, the idol doesn't want to come close to us?
Good question. For a different time. But let's just say that even the Yetzer Hara doesn't want us to sin. He's doing his job. Rumei Amin Shitin, its height was 60 amas high, Patye Amin Shitin. Akinei Bevikat Dura b'Mdinat Bavel. He established it in the valley of Dura in Bavel. Now this valley, why was he bringing it there? This was the valley, according to one tradition, where all the dead men who tried to flee the Egyptian Empire, the tribe of Ephraim, were lying there. And those bones had never been buried. So the Jews were going to come, they're going to see the bones of years ago, Jews who tried to defy a kingdom. And they were all dead. And now they're coming and they see these dry bones, which ultimately the Navi Yechezkel, Ezekiel will prophesy about. And the king is telling them, I'm telling you to bow or you're all going to die. There's a very hidden, very obvious message being given to the Jews. See those? This is the valley. It says it was in the Medinat Bavel. I don't know how that fits with the map. It doesn't seem like the children of Ephraim went through there. It seems like they went directly north through the Philistines. So I don't know how we worked that out. But that's one tradition we have. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The Gemara says that when Yechezkel brought them back to life, there are different opinions as to what happens with them. One opinion is they came to Jerusalem, they sang songs, and one Amora says, I am from them, and I still have the tefillin my great-great-grandfather gave me. So it's unclear whether those bones would still be there. Yeah?
Is all the bones raised up except for one. The one that charged interest rates on loans. Uzzah. Okay. Is that mine?
ונבוכדנצר מלכה שלח למכנסת עכשיו פנייה סגניה פחבטה עד דרגזריה גד דבריה דתבריה תפתיה וכל שתנה מדינתה. נבוכדנצר gathers all the different governors and leaders. These Aramaic terms are for the different leaders of the people. וכל שתנה מדינתה, all the people responsible of the kingdom, למציל חנוכת סמי, invites everyone to come to the inauguration of this idol, the Akin Buchanitzah Malkah, that Buchanitzah established. But then it can be Achstafanasi Nafakbataz. Adal Gazaryag, Davrayat, Tavrayat, Tisayev, Hoshitnim, Dinasan Hamkat Salma, the Akin Buchanitzah Malkah. Everyone is coming in for this inauguration party, the Kamin Lakavel Salma, the Akin Buchanitzah. They're all standing opposite this idol. The Charosa Karev Chayil, and they had a great announcer calling out, Lechon Amrinam Mayal Mayavlish Nayaya. I'm telling you, all the nations, different peoples, different tongues, different languages. Bidanati Tishmeun, when you hear Kalkanama Shokita Katos Sabchat Santarin Symphonia, the Chodzenez Mara, when you hear the different instruments starting to play their music, Tiplun Vitisgadun Etzelem Dava, you have to fall and bow before this idol of gold, the Aken Buchanetza Maka, that Buchanetza, the king, established. Umandi Loi Telvi is God, whoever doesn't fall and bow, Bashatai Kamele Guatun Urai Kita. That, at that minute when he does not bow, will be thrown into a burning furnace. Kol kovel dina, tezina. After this announcement, and opposite all this, At that time, Kedisha min kol amaya kol kanama shol kitak et rosa b'chat santerin, b'chol z'nei z'maraya, when all the nations heard the band start playing all these different instruments, naflim kol amaya, all the nations fell, umaya v'lishnaya, all the different peoples and tongues, sagdin bowed, l'tselem b'avata, this idol of gold, z'yaken v'chanesa machakad, v'chanesa established. Kol kovel dina bezim na kribu kuvrim kasa'in v'chalok kasa'hon b'yehuda'e. And when that happened, some Chaldeans came and spoke badly about the Jews. Anova amrin Nebuchadnezzar Malka. They came and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, they answered and told him, Malka le min chayi, long live the king. I live forever. Anz Malka samtateim, you said the following, Bicholenashti ishma, that any person that hears, Kol kanama shokitach et rosavchat santerim simpanaya, Bechol zmei zmarai, that is good to sell him da'ava. Anyone that hears this music, should he fall and bow. Umandiloi per viskud, whoever doesn't fall and bow, yitomele goatuna nuhaya kilta, will fall, will be thrown into this burning furnace. Itai gufin yudain, there are Jewish men, timanita yaton al avidat medinat vavel, that you make them responsible for the running of Babylon, shabach mishach vaved nego, chananya mishach nazaya, guvoya ilech lizmein, these men, nosamu alach malkatem, they don't care for what you say, lelach lo fachim, they don't bow to you, they don't serve, worship your God, ulzelem davad deachenta lo sagdin, into the gold idol that you established, they didn't bow. Notice, they did things wisely. First they come in front of everyone and they say, didn't you say that whoever doesn't bow will get thrown into the furnace? So he says, yes. Now that he said yes, they revealed to him that his top advisors didn't do it. Now what's he going to say? They dined then, Nebuchadnezzar b'gaz rachama, Nebuchadnezzar, with great anger, amar la'itaya l'shodach mishach v'avednego, he ordered that these three, Hanani, Mishon, and Azariah will be brought before him. They dined guvaya ilech itay kodam al-kab. These men were brought before the king. And it seems like some time passed. Like it wasn't exactly a story of 5 minutes, because our sages say that when they were brought, we're going to see they were wearing the royal clothing. And our sages said, we learned from this story that even when a person's at the bottom of the pit, he thinks it's over, he's being brought before a tribunal and he might be killed, which is where they were holding, he doesn't wear clothing of mourning, but rather he wears the good suit he has, the clothing that he wears when he goes to win a case. A person should never walk into court thinking, I lost. You walk into court dressed like you're going to win. And we learn this out from here. Now, if this is talking about the time 5 minutes after they didn't bow, so what are our sages deriving? When did they have a chance to change their clothing? Obviously, whatever they were wearing at that day, that's what they wore when they were brought before the tribunal. So it seems like some time had passed between when the command, the decree had been, and these people managed to get in before the king, and the king called them before them, and they knew why they were being called, and they came in dressed in their royal clothing. Yeah, Ari? Good question. The Sukkim seem to use them interchangeably. Some want to say they're part of the Babylonian Empire. There's a source that says that they were partners with the Babylonians. So that's what I'm saying. The Navi seems to use them interchangeably. Rashi writes that they were partners. The major force was the Babylonian force, and their partners in crime were the Chaldeans. So the Navi sometimes refers to the Babylonians, sometimes to the Chaldeans. They were part of the same army. Rashi says that every nation that overtook us came in pairs. The Babylonians came with the Chaldeans, the Persians came with the Medes, the Greeks came with the Macedonians, and the Edomites came with the Arabs, with the Ishmaelites. That's how Rashi breaks it down, based upon the Medrash Tehillim. Anei Nebuchadnezzar v'amar lehun. So Nebuchadnezzar raised his voice. The term anei, ana, could mean respond, could mean raised his voice, and said, v'amar lehun, he said to them, Hatzdach shabach meshach v'aved nego, is my decree like emptiness before you? You devalue what I say. Leilahi loy techon parchin, my God, you don't serve. Urusem davad deakimet lo sagdin, and the gold idol that I established, you don't bow to. Notice, this is the same Nebuchadnezzar who said, the God of the Jews is the true God. Only he could give this away. So this gives good support to the understanding we said, that he knew God was running the show. But he knew that if he gets the Jews to sin, then he has a better chance of maintaining the kingdom. כאן הני תכון עתידין דוידנה דתשמעון כלכנה משוקיתה כתוס אבחת סנטרין סמפניה וחוזני זרעת פלונטיס גדון לצלמה דיאביד דיאביד. Now the king says, I am telling you, you will bow, whether you like it or not, to the idol when you hear the sound of my band starting to play. And if you don't bow, right away you'll be thrown to burning furnace. Who's the God that will save you from my hand? Ano shadach meshach avetnigos, sochanan mishor nazaya entrim, v'amrin l'malkan mitzor the king, Nebuchadnezzar. לא חשבים אנחנו על דנה פתגם נעצבותך. We don't really need to enter you. They're talking before the king. They got nothing to lose. They say, in truth, we don't have to enter you. We don't need to enter you, but we don't have to sit in council to figure out what answer to tell you. We don't have a problem entering you. הניתאי אל ההנה די אנחנו פחים. There is our God who we serve. יחיל שיזבותנה. He can save us. מנתון ראי כיתה ומנידח מלכאי שזיב. He could save us from the fire and from your hand, the king. Vehen lo, and even if he does not, yediale veilach malcha, you should know the king. Tileilach lo itan afachin. We're not going to bow to your God. Ulzelam da'avadi akem lo nisgod, and to the gold idol that you establish, we will not bow. They're saying God may save us and God may not. He can save us, whether he chooses to save us or not, we don't know. But we will not bow to your idol. And this is an important rule. This goes back to the story of Avram. Avram was told, bow to the idol or we'll throw you into the furnace. Avram said, I won't bow. His brother Haran said, I'm not sure whether I'll bow or not. Wait, let me see how Avram fares. So when Avram is thrown into the furnace and Avram walks out alive, Haran says, I'm with him. So they say, okay, they throw him into the furnace and he dies. Why? Because when a person wants to go with the truth, he has to be willing to give up his life. Avram said, I won't bow to the idol, and you want to throw me in, I will not bow. He didn't know whether he'd be saved or not. Haran said, it works for him, it'll work for me. It doesn't work that way. When a person says, I'm going to go for it, he has to go for it when he doesn't know what will happen. That's why people very often hear stories of, this person made Aliyah and everything worked out well for him. And then they say, okay, I'll make Aliyah. Chances are it won't work out well for them. No one's telling you that yet. If you do it, it'll work well for you. Quite the contrary. If you do it banging on that it'll work well for you, then it's going to be tough. If you do it saying, I don't know how it's going to work, then hopefully it'll be okay. But the way we see God works is that God says, you have to put your all into it. You have to jump into it and put both feet in that hopefully it will work. Whether it will or not, we don't know whether it will or not. But when you come in saying, now it will, then there are very, very good chances that it won't. So they tell Nebuchadnezzar, God can save us, either he will or he won't. Nebuchadnezzar is filled with anger. His plan is being destroyed. Here the Jews are standing up to him. He wanted them to serve idols and they're not. And his countenance changed regarding these three, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. And now he raised his voice and says, heat that furnace 7 times the heat it could handle. He told the great warriors of his soldiers to bind up Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to throw them into the burning furnace. Then these men bound in their clothing, together with all their royal clothing, they were bound up. And this is what we mentioned a minute ago. From here we see that even though they knew there was a good possibility they would get the death penalty, they walked in with all their royal clothing. And they were thrown into the burning furnace. When all this happened, when the king's audacious decree was fulfilled and the men were thrown into the burning furnace as it was firing up, the fire was as strong as possible. These men, the great warriors who threw them into the furnace, a pillar of fire came out of the furnace and killed all those warriors who had thrown them in. These three men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they fell into the furnace, bound. Now, before we continue, let's do a little bit of history. Before Nebuchadnezzar became king of Babylon, he was one of the generals in the Assyrian army. He was under Sanherib. And when Sanherib captured the 10 northern tribes, Sanherib laid siege over Jerusalem. And he thought he would capture Jerusalem. And that night, God sent an angel through the Assyrian camp, and over 100,000 men dropped dead. We have a tradition that God let them hear the songs of the angel at sunrise, and when they heard the songs of the angels at sunrise, they died. So Nebuchadnezzar was one of the soldiers who was present when the Assyrian camp lay siege over Jerusalem. And he merited to see this angel walking through the camp and killing over 100,000 men. And now Edayim Nebuchadnezzar Melkat Teva Vekam Bihbahala, and Nebuchadnezzar wondered and got up in fear. Aneva Amar Le'adavroi Alo Guvrin, he raised his voice and he said, to his advisors, Halo Guvrin Tlataramin Alo Gonura Mechafin, didn't we throw three men into the furnace? Bound up. They answered and said to the king, Yasiva Malka, that's the truth, we threw three men in. Aneva Amar, he answered and he said, I see four in there, in that furnace. Shrayin, they're not bound. Malchin Begonura, they're walking through that furnace as though there's nothing happening. Vachavan Loitabeon, and there's nothing wrong with them. And the countenance of the fourth that I see among them is like an angel. How did he know what angels look like? He saw the same angel he had seen killing out the Assyrian army. Now he saw him walking in the furnace with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The Dan Kremen Buchanetzar Litra Tunurai Kitan. Buchanetzar came close to the opening of this burning furnace. Aneva Amari raised his voice and said, Shabrach Meshach Vaved Nego Avdoi Di Elahai La Puku Vetu. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you servants of the uppermost God, come out. They went out. Shadrach, Meshach, Avednego, Mingo, Nura. Our sages say, why didn't they leave the furnace beforehand? They're standing there waltzing around like everything is okay. Why didn't they walk out? Because even at a time that God's making them this miracle, they still have to respect the authority of the king. So he didn't tell them to come out, so they're still in the furnace. So he calls them out. And all the wise men gathered around to see these men, that the fire wouldn't get control of them. And the hair on their head didn't get scorched. Their clothing didn't change. And they didn't even smell the smoke. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed is the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He sent his angel, and he saved his servants, that they relied on God. And in response to the king's decree, they were not willing to change their beliefs. They were willing to give up their bodies and not bow to any god other than theirs. And from me, there's a law from now on. Any nation, any people that dare say anything bad about the Jewish God, the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I'll cut him up to limbs, his home should be turned into a dump. Because I know that, in response to what I've seen, that there's no other force, there's no other God that could save like this. So the king established them three. He let them have high positions in the Babylonian aristocracy. Now, even though the Christian separation of chapters doesn't end the chapter here, we have a tradition that this is a new thing. Nebuchadnezzar is now writing a letter, and in this letter he's going to tell a story. He's sending this letter out to all the nations. Peace be with you. The great miracles that the great God that is over everything did with me, it's good before me to tell you. Atoy kemar avrevan, the signs of God, how great are his signs, v'timhoi, and his wondrous things, kamata kifin, how powerful. Malchutei malchut olam, his kingdom is eternal, v'shotaneim dar v'dar, and his kingdom is eternal. Anan Nebuchadnezzar, shelei aveti beveiti v'ranan be'echeli. Nebuchadnezzar is telling his people, I was calm, I was peaceful, I was at home, everything was good. Chaleim chazet vidachlinani. I had a dream and it got me scared. Vahorin al mishkevi v'chazer eshiv v'alunani. The different thoughts I had when I was lying in bed, they got me scared. Uminisim teim la'analak odaman l'chol chakimei bavel. I let out a decree to bring forward all the wise men of Babylon, divshachel ma'yodunani, to tell me what does the dream mean. V'dayin alim chaltumayash v'yakas eiv gazraya. All the wise men came in. V'chelma amar anak odameyon. And I said the dream before them. U'fishrei lo modun li. And they couldn't tell me what the dream means. V'adachoran al kadamai Daniel. Until in the end Daniel came forth, Bishmei Belshazzar Kishum Elahi, that his name is Belshazzar, like the name of my God, Tiduach Elahim Kadishin Bein, the spirit of the holy gods are within Daniel, V'chelmako Demo Yamreit, I told him the dream. Belshazzar Rafa Tumaya, Di'ana Yidei Diruach Elahim Kadishin Bach Kol Razo Anesach, Hezvei Chelmei Dichazet Uvishrei Emar. The king tells Daniel, you tell me what I dreamt, I know you know all the secrets, tell me what I dreamt, tell me the solution. V'chazvei Reshi Al Mishkevi, and the things I saw when I was on my bed. I saw a tree on the ground, and it was a great tree blossoming. It was a big tree, it was very strong. Its height reached heaven. You could see it from the end of the land. Branches were beautiful and had many fruits. Umazon acholabei, it had food for everyone. Every creature could find food in that tree. Chotoi tatlel chayvat bara, under it was shade for the wild animals. Uvenfoyu duan tipray shmaya, and in its branches all the birds could dwell. Umenei yitim kol bishan, from it all flesh could find sustenance. Chazei aveit bechazei roshi al mishkevi, I saw in my dream, ועלו עיר וקדיש מן שמיין אחיד. And behold, an angel came down from heaven, קרי וחייל, he called out with a loud voice, וכן אמר, this is what he said, גודו אילנה וקציצו אנפוי, cut down the tree, cut its branches, עתר ופיר ודרו אין בי, remove its branches, spread out, scatter its fruits, תנות חיבתם אין צחתוי, may the wild animals scatter from beneath it, וציפוריה מן אנפוי, and the birds from its branches. Bram, but itar shoshoy be'arash vuku, leave the main roots in the ground. Ve'esul b'fazel mechash b'dit'a divara, and surround them with metal and copper. Give them, ensure that the roots remain in the grass. Uvetash maya yitzdaba, and it'll become wet in the dew of heaven. Imchevatach alakei b'asavara, and it's going to have its portion with the wild animals in the grass of the earth. Livei min anashay ishtanun. Its heart will change from man. He will be given a heart of animals. And 7 periods of time will pass upon him. What is this dream? Daniel is going to explain to him. This word is from the decree of the holy ones. And the words of the holy ones have asked. God says, I want mankind, all living creatures, to know that there is a supreme being in charge, the kingdom of man. And he gives it to who he wishes. And he establishes the lowest of men upon mankind. God rules who's going to be king and who not. This is the dream I saw, says Nebuchadnezzar, Ana Malkan Nebuchadnezzar. Ve'an Belshazzar Pishrei Emar. And you, Daniel, tell me the explanation. Kol Kovedi Kol Chakimei Malchuti Lo Echlim Pishrei Dutani Ve'an Kahed Diruach Elim Kedshin Bach. None of my wise men can tell me. You who have God's spirit, tell me. Edayin Daniel Bishmei Belshazzar Shtumen Keshachada. Daniel thought for a minute, for I know you're Valune. And what he saw got him scared. Ane Malkav Amar Belshazzar Chel Malchushrei Yari Yevalach. So the king tells Daniel, don't get scared by the dream and its explanation. Daniel said, my master, may this dream be for your enemies and its explanation to those who hate you. Our sages say that Daniel was saying this to God. Daniel really didn't like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had murdered millions of people. Killed and killed and killed. So he didn't like Nebuchadnezzar. But he's standing before the king. So he says, my master. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's talking to him. And Daniel is talking to God. And he's not talking to the king. He says, may this dream be on your enemy. May this dream be upon those that hate you. Daniel is wishing the dream upon Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's wishing it upon his enemies. Ilana bichazaita the revolt keep the tree that you saw that was so great and strong, Romain Tedishmaya, and its height to the heavens, the Chazotel Cholara, and could be seen from throughout the land, Vofia Shapir ben Beit Sagi, Mazon Lechol Avein, has so much food. This tree, says Daniel, is you. And Daniel tells him the solution of the dream is we will see Bezrat Hashem next week. See you guys in a retire to say that. If anyone wants to stay, so we'll do a little bit of Binyan Abayit if anyone wants.